الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ويرضى. الحمد لله. We are fortunate that we are still in the blessed month of Ramadan, and the gates of mercy, the gates of forgiveness, the gates of salvation are still open for us. While some of us may be thinking, chalo kam ho gaya, that's it, it's time to wrap up now, every single moment counts. And this is why even the Prophet ﷺ mentions that even if the day of Qiyamah is about to begin right over your head, and you have a seed in your hand and you are able to plant it, then you should still plant it. Even at that very last moment when it feels like Qiyamah is about to begin and there's nothing else left, still if you can do some good, you can do some khair, then you should do that. So up until the moon is not seen or the day of Eid al-Fitr is not announced, we should continue in our journey to maximize our time and our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can all go home and put on the TV or some sports, etc., or we can engage ourselves in the best of mahfils, the best of gathering and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember this, that the gates of Ramadan, whilst they may be closing slowly, but they are not completely closed yet. So therefore we still have the ability to smell the fragrance of Jannah, for us to appreciate the breeze of Jannah onto our faces, and for us to be eager to see the beauty and the treasure of Jannah, insha'Allahul Aziz. So whilst time is running out, it has not yet run out. So please do continue to engage yourself in the dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday there were a few points that I wanted to mention, but obviously due to the lack of time, I never have the opportunity to always go through them. Nevertheless, one or two key points I wanted to share with you. The salah that we've obviously discussed thus far is an integral part of our day-to-day life, integral part of our faith, our iman, an integral part of our hereafter, and therefore we need to succeed in our salah to the best of our ability. One mistake that I've seen people make, and it's unintentional because I don't think people think too much about it, but they can make this, and I have seen people make this mistake, which I really wanted to reiterate and obviously remind people not to do so and to be careful, is that when they pray their salah from perhaps the time of the beginning of the takbir onwards up until perhaps towards the end, they read their salah but it's quiet. For example, they've said the takbir, they've said Allahu Akbar, but then the sana that they're doing in their head. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. So they're there. So they may be moving their lips, but no actual voice, no actual sound is actually coming from their mouth. And this is a very important thing to understand, that this can lead you to invalidate your salah. So salah will be valid when you actually say those words, when you utter those words. It's just like you look at the Qur'an and you can read the Qur'an in your head all day, but you won't actually get the reward of reciting the Qur'an. In order to recite the Qur'an, the words have to come out from your mouth. They have to be audible. At least you have to be able to hear the words that you are saying. So the rewards of the Qur'an itself are when you take the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you transform them onto your tongue, and then you bring them into the dunya in that sense, and your ears can hear those words, and that's when you receive the reward of reciting the Qur'an. So in the salah there is Fatiha, there is a surah, and there's various other elements. So all of the reward related to the salah itself is when you actually audibly make those sounds of the salah. So this is very important for people to consider and to always be mindful of in their salah, that don't just, say so quietly that you can't even hear yourself, or move your lips but no words are actually physically coming out of your mouth. This is the important part of your salah, that you have to say the words, create those words, sound the words, so that at least you can hear what you are saying. You should be able to hear yourself say, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka. At least that amount. Similarly with your Fatiha and with your Surah and the various other things. Otherwise, you're just going to be quiet and think that you're saying it and actually go through it all in your head, but then actually realize it on your tongue, then the rewards will not be there and potentially it could be invalidated as well. So that's why you have to be very, very careful in making sure that the words actually come out from your mouth and you actually hear those words being read by yourself in every one of those positions, from the surah to the Fatiha to the various or other du'as that we have. So please keep that in mind. Another thing I wanted to obviously share, which is a very proud moment for myself and also a very proud moment for a member of our congregation here, is that alhamdulillah, you know, I don't want to name, perhaps I will name at the end, but you've all come here to learn, to understand, and inshallah al-aziz to implement all of the lessons of the salah. And yesterday, one of, alhamdulillah, our congregants, our community members who's been participating in these lessons, they came up to me and they said, I said, where were you yesterday? And he said, oh, sorry, Imam Zab, I had to go to a charity event. But then he goes, I'll tell you something that will make you proud. And I said, okay, go ahead, tell me. And he said, when it was the time for Maghrib, everybody was doing the meerkat thing, which is looking around, which is what we've discussed. Imam to konizi, Imam to itesi. And everybody else was there at the charity event. So everybody was looking around. They said, but because of the lessons that we have been doing here, because of the importance of the salah and the beauty and the rewards and the treasures of the salah and the constant encouragement that I found, I built the confidence to say, I will lead the salah. And he said, I led the salah, alhamdulillah. And he read it, and he read it with joy, he read it with khushu, and he read it with great love and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realizing that he is standing before his Lord, and tried to perfect his salah and read his salah to the best of his ability. And behind him was perhaps maybe 30, 40 people. That's just the people that he knows, but he doesn't know how many hundreds, perhaps thousands of angels were also there as well to witness him lead the salah, to say Ameen with his dua and to follow him in all of his positions in his salah. So I was thinking, alhamdulillah, it made me very, very proud. And I'm sure he was very proud and his family members were very proud. But then it made me think as well that if I am this proud of a person who's just attended these lessons, that alhamdulillah he has led the salah and this is how he felt, then imagine how proud the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam will feel on the day of Qiyamah. These are my ghulam, these are my followers, these are my ummatis, these are my lovers, these are the people who came after me and they didn't see me, they just read about me, they heard about me, and then they dedicated their life to learn the salah, to perfect the salah, and to read the salah. Imagine how proud the Prophet ﷺ will be, and imagine how he will recognize you and say, there's my ummati, there's my imam, there's the leader, there's the namazi, there's the person, and he will recognize you by your sujood, he'll recognize you by your salah, and he'll say, come here, and you will be next to him, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is just a teacher or an imam feeling this proud, but imagine, you know, the pride of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam. So this should encourage us all to become leaders in our own capacity and to, you know, build the confidence within ourselves that yes, within our homes or our workplaces or whatever the time does come, we should feel confident to stand forward and remember the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, make us the imams, the leaders of the muttaqeen. And this is who we are. We're here to lead by example, not just read our own tutti putti, but constantly enhance and improve and perfect our salah, and then say, I'm ready to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to pray and to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, it made me extremely proud, and I'm sure all of us in our own time when we go through our journey will also be able to stand on the musalla, whether it's with our family or with our children or with the circumstances, and say, here I am, you know, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah Azza wa Jal bless our brother who had this great blessing and this great opportunity, and he didn't shy away, he actually seized the opportunity given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stood forth and led the salah. May this become the impetus, the catalyst for his transformation and further success in the deen, and inshallah also in the dunya as well. Ameen. And just to let you know, it was Brother Waqas over there. So alhamdulillah. But today I just wanted to quickly go over the Eid al-Fitr Salah. Because as you know, we are, inshallah, maybe perhaps tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, we'll be doing Eid al-Fitr, which is also a Salah. And it's important for us to know. So if you look at every single way, there's no way to kind of escape Salah. From the time that you are born, the Azan, a child hears the Azan in the right ear, then the child hears the Iqamah in the left ear. From the time a person is born, then the parents should pray two nafil of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the delivery of the child, for the blessing and the gift of the child. From the time a person comes into the dunya, they come to the masjid with their parents and they begin to pray themselves. Then there is the salah for all events of shukr, of difficulty, of ease, of solar eclipse, of lunar eclipse, the salah of istikhara, of asking and seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the salah of taraweeh that we do in addition in the month of Ramadan, the salah of janazah that we do every single time a person passes away, the salatul Eid al-Fitr and the salatul Eid al-Adha. Everywhere you look, there is a salah, which is what? A connection, a dialogue, a talking, a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of your events in your life. So Eid al-Fitr is no exception to that. Why? Because we're coming together to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for He gave us the tawfiq, the ability, the power to stand strong and remain firm and steadfast throughout the month of Ramadan. And then we come together, strengthen our hearts and our shoulders and our community, and we come to thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Eid al-Fitr is also a very, very important time for us to remember that salah that we have and how we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the month of Ramadan is the ninth month in the Islamic calendar, and the tenth month after Ramadan is Shawwal, which is the 10th month. And on the first of Shawwal, we have the day of Eid al-Fitr. So the end of Ramadan, and then we have the first of Shawwal, and that is the day when we come to pray Allah and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a day of immense shukr, immense gratitude to Allah azza wa jal. It is also a day of family, it is a day of community, it is a day of friends, it is also a day of jaza. Jaza means a day of reward, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here on this particular day will reward His workers, will reward His servants and His slaves, for those people who have worked tirelessly throughout the days and nights of Ramadan. On the day of Eid al-Fitr is the day that we get a portion of our reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we shouldn't just come to think, oh, we're coming just to pray, you know, Eid al-Fitr. You're actually coming to get your wages, your rewards, your barakah, your blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a day of great things, a great achievement, and also a day of continue to be with your community and with your family as well. Also a day when you will hear many people, especially the Arabs, say this dua, taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us and also accept it from you. And this is in reference to accept all of the things that you have done throughout the month of Ramadan. Your siyam that you did, the protection of your eyes and your ears and your nose and your hands and your feet, the protection of your heart and the improvement of your taqwa, your tahara, your closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the acceptance of the taraweeh and your salah and your recitation of your sadaqat, of your fitrana, of your zakat, all of these things and much more that only you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. This is the generic dua that we do. Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us and accept it from you, all of the good that we have done. So there are some etiquettes, just like we've done the etiquettes of salah in terms of waking up and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity, and then for doing wudu and having the intention and the libas and our appearance and coming to the masjid, all of those kayfiyah that we have discussed. Similarly for the day of Eid al-Fitr as well as Eid al-Adha, there is a certain amount of etiquettes and mannerisms and things that we must do before we come to the day of Eid al-Fitr, before we come to the Salah. So the first thing the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam encouraged and always stated was always rise early on the day of Eid al-Fitr. And this is not just meaning that just rise early in terms of just, you know, get up for Fajr and then that's it. No, get up earlier than you normally do for Fajr. And then pray extra nawafil in thanks, in eagerness, in anticipation, because you're going to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on this day you are going and you're going to receive your rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So try to wake up early. And this is even more important for our youngsters, because when they know it's the day of Eid, the following day, then the night before Eid, then they're out all night chilling out and doing all these kind of stuff that, you know, you all know. And they end up missing their Isha, and they end up even missing their Fajr. So you know, imagine you worked so hard, and then the day that you're supposed to get rewarded, like, you sleep through it. Then you're not going to get rewarded, you're not going to get all of that sawab and the ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like when you have a flight, when you have an exam, when you have something monumental, it's very difficult for you to sleep, because you're, you know, sometimes when I tell my daughter, like, you know, we're going to go to this place, and all night she doesn't sleep because she's so eager, like, daddy, we're going to this place. And we used to be like that when we were children as well, that we're so happy and eager that this is going to happen that we fail to even sleep. So this is how a true mu'min, a true slave and servant and believer is, that he's so eager that they wake up early, earlier than expected. Why? Because they just want to be there, be the first, you know, early bird, and get there early as possible. So this is why the Messenger said you should rise up early in the morning for the day of Eid al-Fitr, before Fajr, and be ready and get ready for the day of Eid al-Fitr, which is a great day of celebration and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by being early, then you'll also get first access to the toilet as well, and to the shower, and that way aram sukoon dinan tasalli dinan, you can get prepared rather than just waiting outside in a long line. You know, there were seven of us siblings, you know, I had five sisters, mashallah, I have five sisters, and me and my brother, seven of us. And then the last person who woke up at bus, that's it, you know, you're not going to make it to your salah. So everybody tried to get up early. There's only one toilet, and I'm sure you all have your own experiences and stories to share. So get up early, especially on the day of Eid al-Fitr. This is not a day to delay. This is not a day to be lazy, to be tardy. It is a time for you to wake up early, get everything prepared, and be one of the earliest in the front safs, because this is where the greatest reward would be on the day of Qiyamah, because angels will have descended from the time of Fajr, and they will be scattered all around the galiya, around the masjid, all the places where you're going to do your Eid al-Fitr, all that area, the Eidgah, which they call. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints angels at every single entrance. For example, there'll be an angel on the top of Romney Street, an angel at the bottom of Hillgate Street, an angel over here, an angel over there. All of these entrances, all these ports, which bring you to the central location, the angels will be appointed. They say, Pehla kona hai. Pehla kona hai. In the AI, I see, fir AI, I see, fir AI, I see, fir AI, I see. Trying to get, find out all of these people who came at the earliest, and those who come the earliest will receive the most reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like those who come in the first saf will receive the most reward. So rise up early on the day of Eid al-Fitr, and then always do the ghusl, which is recommended by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala. So not just the wudu. Wudu is the minor purification. Ghusl is the major purification. So that is having a good, thorough shower or a bath, and making sure that you also follow the sunnah and etiquettes of having a shower as well. We don't have the time to go through that, but inshallah we will after the month of Ramadan. So do your ghusl to the best of your ability, and don't waste too much water as well. And then make sure you groom, as the Prophet ﷺ would prepare even more so. You'd prepare for each salah, but especially on the day of Jumu'ah, and also on these beautiful days of Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, etc., he would do even more care, take even more care and concern. So, you know, you are going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you need to present yourself in the best manner. So make sure you shave, you trim, you groom, and you comb your hair, and you clip your nails, etc., and you groom yourself, and you prepare yourself to the best of your abilities, and you make sure that you put on perfume or itr, as was the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala. It's an all part and parcel of being prepared, just like you would prepare for a great interview, or prepare for even for your wedding. This is far greater than that day. You're going there to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do your ghusl, make sure you groom to the best of your ability, and then wear your best clothes that you have. Ideally, you should purchase new clothes if you are financially able to do so. If not, select your best clothes that you have, and make sure you iron them, and you wash them, and you take care of them, and you prepare them, because you are coming with the best of what you have before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, for Eid al-Fitr, the sunnah is to eat something sweet. I eat kujur, Ajwa Khajur, any other khajur that you have, or whatever else you have at home. Obviously, children will say, I'll have some sweeties in the morning, but anything sweet that you have, this is a sunnah to have on the day of Eid al-Fitr. Why? Because it breaks away from the norm of what you have been doing for the entire month. So in the morning, when you wake up, when you've done Fajr, etc., then you eat something sweet just before you leave for the masjid, for the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the sunnah is also to go on foot. The Prophet ﷺ had camels, the Prophet ﷺ had all the various means of coming to the Eidgah and the masjid, but he would come on foot deliberately. Why? Because it's a way of encouraging other people and showing the community as well that these people, look, with this zeal and beauty, look, where are these people going? They're all going to the remembrance and zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're going to get the reward and ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was encouraged to go by foot, walking to the masjid as much as possible. So if the weather permits, and if you are up early already, then it will be easy for you to make your way to the masjid. Why? Because every single step that you take, your gunah will be washed away and removed. And every single step that you take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for every single step. And you'll get a greater reward for walking to the masjid than you will for driving to the masjid, because gardina kaam karna. But obviously when you're walking, then your walking becomes a form of ibadah, an act of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every breath that you take, every time that you are doing the takbir, which is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd, the longer you do that, the more reward and sawab you'll get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also something to remember, that on the day of Eid al-Fitr, we don't do it loudly, because we do it loudly on the day of Eid al-Adha, because there is a different, obviously, momentous occasion because of the Hajj. For Eid al-Fitr, we still do the takbir, but we do it on a lower scale, not as loudly as you're walking around screaming and shouting, but just obviously enough for yourself to hear the takbir. So you should go to the Eid prayer as early as possible. And the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is to go via one route and then return via a different route. And this is why, because on one route, the people that you come into meeting with or interact with, you are able to share your smiles, your happiness, your joy with them, and obviously encourage them and give them sahara and support as well. And obviously by you leaving from a different route, you end up meeting different people. Then you can share that same happiness and joy and ask their du'as, and they can do du'a for you and you can do du'a for them as well. So maximizing your rewards and maximize sharing the goodness and the khair throughout the entire community. So that's why you should try to come via one route and return via a different route, which is the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. But remember the takbir, you will do that quietly from the time that you leave the home up until the time that you come into the masjid. The takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Also to remember the fitrana, if you haven't not yet paid it, should try to make sure that you pay it as early as possible, especially before the Eid namaz. If you do not pay it before the Eid namaz, then your siyam, i.e. all of the fast that you have done, they remain mu'allak. Mu'allak is a term in Arabic which basically means they remain hanging. They remain hanging between the heaven and the earth. They just stay in the middle. Na agede na pichede. Okay, you've done it. You've done all the work, but it's just there. It's like sending a post and it never reaches its destination. You've done all of this act. So you want it to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want it to be truly recorded and accepted by Allah azza wa jalla. You can do all the work. If you don't do the clock in and clock out and timesheet, you're not going to get paid by your employer. So if you do not pay your zakatul fitr, which is the purification of your, obviously, your siyam, of your fasting, do not pay your fitrana, then your siyam remain mu'allak, they remain hanging between the heaven and the earth. So you do not get the full reward and ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make sure before you come to the masjid, you try to pray that. You should ideally pay it a couple of days before. Why? So that other people who are less fortunate in your community, the Muslim community, so they are able to purchase clothes and purchase foods and purchase gift for themselves. Nobody should be left out. Just like nobody's left out in the salah, everybody's standing shoulder to shoulder, nobody's isolated. Everybody stands together, united. Similarly, in the community, no other family should be left out in the celebrations. They should be able to enjoy a certain amount of food and quality of property and gifts and stuff like that for their family. So ideally, you should pay that as quickly as possible and early as possible so that they can go out and do that as well. So make sure you've paid that for every single member in your family, in your home, in your home. The person in the home, they have to pay, whether they're 1 year old, 10 years old, 100 years old, or 1 day old, everybody has to pay that fitrana for being obviously within that family. Even if you have a guest coming to you on the day of Eid, you are obligated to pay for them if they haven't paid so already as well. So this is very important for us to remember. And to make sure when you come to the masjid, you come in a state of wudu. So not just come, obviously, I'll do wudu at the masjid. You should do wudu from the home before you come into the masjid. Make sure that you wear fresh, clean socks and fresh, clean clothes, and make sure you smell well and you look well, and especially do the miswak or brush your teeth before you come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, obviously, the difference between normal Jumu'ah and Eid Salah is that on Jumu'ah, the Imam does the speech first, and obviously then the khutbah is done, and then the salah is performed. Whereas for Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, it's the opposite way. It's the opposite way. So what's done first? The salah is done, and then the khutbah is done. So it's the opposite way. So remember that. So for Eid al-Fitr, there's two raka'at, which is two units or two cycles that we will perform, with the addition of 6 takbirs. Three takbirs in the first raka'ah are extra, and 3 takbirs are extra in the second rak'ah. Okay? So this is the extra method as performed by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. As for the first rak'ah, in the original first takbir that we do, we say Allahu Akbar and we begin our salah and we go into that state of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you'll read your sana as usual. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. Your hands will remain folded up until this time as we normally do. Then the Imam will say the takbirs, 3 extra takbirs. And for each one, you will raise your hands again, level with your earlobes, just like you do for your original takbir. You'll raise them level and you say Allahu Akbar with the Imam, and then you'll release them to the side. And then there should be a pause in between each and every takbir. So it's not like Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, chalo ji ho gaya, and then get on to it. No. Every takbir should be meaningful. It should be significant, where you are proclaiming the greatness, the majesty, the power, the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say that Allahu Akbar, and then you should put your arms to the side, and then there should be enough gap. Obviously, this is the Imam's duty to make sure that there is enough pause, enough gap between the first takbir and the second takbir, where you should be able to say Subhanallah 3 times. At least minimum once, but ideally you should be able to say Subhanallah 3 times. So also you can do this dua between each takbir of saying Subhanallah. Glory, exaltation is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should say that. And then the Imam, obviously, after the third takbir, then you will obviously fold your hand. The Imam will recite Fatiha, recite a surah. Then you'll do all of the normal parts of the salah, which is go into ruku, come out, go into sajda, complete your first unit, your first rak'ah, then come back for your second rak'ah. And then in the second rak'ah, straight away the Imam will recite a surah, a Fatiha and a surah. But then after the surah is complete, then before going into ruku, then the takbirs will be proclaimed again. And again, you'll raise your hands level with your earlobes, release them to the side, and say Subhanallah at least once, if not 3 times, in between each takbir. And then the 3 takbirs will be made. Then the 4th takbir will be made, then without raising your hands, because people make this mistake, because obviously they're used to now doing this. So after the 3rd takbirs are done, then the 4th time he says Allahu Akbar without raising your hands, then we go into ruku. Then we'll perform the ruku, come into qiyam, go into sajda, complete the tashahud and durood, say salam to the right and the left. And then from the time the Imam has completed the salam on both sides, then from that point up until he reaches the minbar, everybody should read the Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. So it won't take me long, hopefully you'll only have to do it once, but the point is, up until that time, obviously you say that. Then the khutbah will be recited, and after the first khutbah, then the Imam will sit down. And this is another important thing for us to remember, that remember there's always 2 khutbahs on Jumu'ah. There's 1 khutbah, the Imam recites, then he sits down. And then he sends back up for the second khutbah. Similarly, for the Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. The point is that between the two khutbahs, that is a very precious and very sacred time. A time within which you can do a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether you say, Rabbi اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب, Allahumma اغفر لي, or ask a dua for yourself, for your health, for your sustenance, for your provisions, for your family. This is a time, a very special time between the two khutbahs for a person to do the dua. So don't just sit there thinking, chalo, kitni der lasi before he stands up for the next khutbah. Actually use that dua, use that time, that very precious time to raise your hands and do a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when you think about it, the khutbah is all about praising, glorifying Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is already descending. His acceptance is already there. And by you inserting that dua in between, the khutbah has the first bit, your dua is inserted like a sandwich, the second khutbah is there as well, and that the khutbah will always be accepted. So your dua in between, that will also be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't waste these opportunities. You don't know which opportunity will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never ever think of you know, an act which is too small, is too trivial. Maximize every opportunity given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the deen, to do as much as you can, because you don't know which one thing, which one ada, which one good deed or act that you've done will be accepted, which will be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So between the khutbah, make sure you do that dua, raise your hands and do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after, obviously, the takbir and the salah and the, obviously, the khutbah, etc., is all done, we do the final communal dua. And then when we meet, and obviously we all shake our hands, and inshallah this year we'll be greeting and hugging each other as well. Don't just, you know, hug for the sake of hugging. Hug and embrace people the way the Prophet ﷺ would embrace the Sahaba Ikram. And the Prophet ﷺ would address somebody, would look at somebody. He didn't used to basically look at Waqas and look somewhere there and just still talk to him. No, he would completely direct his entire body, his focus and his attention to the person that he was talking to. And similarly, when he was hugging somebody, he was shaking their hands, he would shake with vigor, he would shake with sincerity, with conviction. When he would embrace them, he would embrace them sincerely. Like, you really feel like, vaki yaar kisi ne mainu jappi paayi hai, pappi ditti hai. You know, really do it sincerely, not just, you know, the way that we do this very, very quickly. Oh, okay, then do it sincerely, okay? If you don't want to hug somebody, then don't hug them. But if you do hug them sincerely. If you want to shake their hands, shake their hands sincerely, with conviction and with love. It's about, you know, putting your hearts together and saying, look, I'm hugging you, I'm embracing you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who love each other for no other reason except for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal will love them in return, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them as well. So loving your brother, whether you know them or not, love them sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these are Muslims, these are servants, these are slaves, these are believers, these are my brothers in faith. Love them, respect them and honor them. Make them feel welcome and part of this community is our duty as Muslims as well. So make sure that you embrace and you shake hands sincerely with conviction and not just maghrurana, theeka na? And if you're tired, just say, look, fine, I've had enough hugs now, so just shake hands, theeka? You guys could probably do that. I can't. I'm at the patient, so I'll have to do it anyway. But at least you guys, you know, you can do that, but do it sincerely with love. But then the final thing I want to share with you in relation to completion of Ramadan is that in the month of Shawwal, because when obviously Eid takes place in the month of Shawwal, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam highly encouraged us to also fast in the month of Shawwal. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that whoever completes fast of Ramadan, so completes first the fast of Ramadan, and then adds to them the sixth fast of Shawwal, that it is though that he carries the reward for fasting the entire year. Again, subhanAllah, look at this great reward. This reward doesn't have to be there at the end of the day. If you want to get the reward of a whole year, then fast a whole year. Allah no ki lage, Rasulullah no ki lage. You know, you do the effort, you do it. If you want the reward, you know, work for it. But no, this is due to the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the love of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, that these opportunities are given to us, these shortcuts are given to us, like Laylatul Qadr is given to us, Mi'raj is given to us, Salah is given to us, all of these things are given to us to maximize our opportunity, our rewards. So we are the Badr Naseeb if we fail to acquire them, we fail to seize these opportunities. So The six fasts of Shawwal are very, very important for us, because we don't know what will be accepted, what won't be accepted, whether we'll live for another year or not, whether we'll have another Ramadan or not. So alhamdulillah, most of us, if not all of us, have fasted in the month of Ramadan. Then in the month of Shawwal, then we should take and fast those 6 days. So we can, it's prohibited to fast on the day of Eid al-Fitr, because this is a day of celebration, of eating and meeting, enjoying, etc. So we don't fast on the day of Eid al-Fitr. Similarly, we don't fast on the day of Eid al-Adha or the Ayyam al-Tashriq, the days of Tashriq as well. We don't fast on those particular days. So those are the 5 days in total that we don't fast. However, after the day of Eid al-Fitr, then obviously on the second day of Shawwal, up until the end of Shawwal, you can fast those 6 days. Whether you fast them back to back, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days back to back, that's entirely your choice. Whether you fast one day, then miss a day, and then do it another day, or miss a couple of days and do it, that's entirely up to you. It's your choice. As long as you make those six fasts in the month of Shawwal, do it within the month of Shawwal, then you are guaranteed the reward of fasting the entire year from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, please do seize this opportunity. And similarly, outside the month of Ramadan as well, try to follow the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as much as possible, where possible. Fast every Monday the way that he used to fast. Why? Because this is the day that he was born, and this is the day that he used to do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also the day when your deeds are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fast on that every Thursday. Again, this is the day where great power and great barakah is descending, because it is the arrival of the day of Jumu'ah, and another day where your deeds are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every Monday and every Thursday, the Prophet alayhi salam used to fast. And the white days, every Thursday, 13th and 14th and 15th of every Islamic month. Every Islamic month of the 13th, the 14th and the 15th, the 3 days to the middle of the month, the Prophet ﷺ used to fast as well during these white days, which is called. So in the month of Ramadan, you fast. Fast your Shawwal and you get the entire year. And within a month, every Mondays and Thursdays and the 13th and the 14th, the 15th of Islamic month, we should try to fast as much as possible. Just the way that we try to perfect our salah and increase our salah as much as possible. Similarly, we should try to fast as much as possible, because it will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and closer to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So I hope today's session has been beneficial and acted as a good reminder and in preparation for the day of Eid al-Fitr, inshaAllah. I'm sure all of you are eagerly awaiting the announcement. Hopefully, inshaAllah, after Maghrib, we will have some confirmations or some negations of any moon sighting from the UK or especially nearby countries like Morocco. And inshaAllah, we'll be able to inform you whether we'll be doing 29 fasts this year or 30 fasts, but whatever it is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us and enable us to maximize our time and our rewards in the sacred month of Ramadan. Jazakumullahu khairah. Aj Isha di Jamaat, Maghrib di Jamaat, wa qas padasi. Allah Hafiz.